Hi everyone, welcome to Analyze Your Trade, episode number 69 for March 12th, 2019 from timingresearch.com. Today we will be discussing your trade ideas. So over the last few days, about 30 people submitted up to 5 symbols each, and I put the list together of the requests, which you should be seeing on your screen right now while I'm talking. And we'll get through as many of those as we can today. We are broadcasting live on YouTube at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, but you can also listen to the audio-only podcast version of all Timing Research episodes on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. Just search for Timing Research and subscribe. My name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of Timing Research, and I have Mike Bassani here to moderate today. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Mike.
Hey, David. Thanks for having me back on. Great to be here. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome. We have a lot of really cool symbols to go over here, and today's kind of going to be a chat type day. It's just two of us. I'm joined by Michael Figliera of Logical Signals. Mike, welcome.
Thank you.
Take a minute, tell everybody about yourself, what you do.
Again, I'm Michael Figliera, and I am the proprietor creator of LogicalSignals.com. And basically what I'm doing right now is, well, my history is that I was an options market maker from way back when, and I retired from that, and but still get pulled back into trading. And so I day trade, and I'm day trading futures. And I had a trade room, and I wrote, and I continue to write. But I've now focused more with a friend who was a member of my trade room and building up her trade room and just getting some wonderful things going in that direction. So I'm over there, and that is candlelighttrading.com. And then in the meantime, I come on and have great fun with you when we do these shows.
It is a pleasure doing this show with you. I always enjoy our conversations. We come at things from a little bit differently, which makes it fun. My name is Mike Bassani, the owner and proprietor of smartoptiontrading.com, where I call out the option flow news, and we use technicals and flow to basically tell us what to trade and what names to get in and out of, whether you're a swing trader or day trading. You know, the option market generally tends to tell you where they want to play on a specific day, or a lot of times the overall sentiment of the market. So you're going to hear a lot about that today. If you're interested in learning more, stop by and visit me. So Michael, let's start off with, and I always like to do this on the show to ground and level set. Let's just have a quick conversation about the SPY. As you know, a week ago, a lot of people out there were doomed and gloom, right? The world's falling apart, and here we are right back at 280 again, three sessions.
Yep. On an Elliott Wave basis, Mike, it fits to the letter T. Because normally if you've got a 5-wave rally going or a 5-wave decline going, the 4th wave is your last corrective phase. And in this case, because the market's been rallying since those December lows of last year. And we got all the way up, and it got into a position where people thought it's overbought, it's overdone, it's like that's it, we're cooked. And it started to come off, and everybody jumped in. I remember the last week volume increased, and it was down volume, and which everybody's like, okay, that's it, we're all out of the pool. And then suddenly it stopped on a dime, and everything got reversed after the trade numbers, not the trade numbers, the job numbers, and it was off to the races back to the upside. So it's not uncommon in how I look at a market when I see something like that. It's like, well, everybody's early. And that's also not uncommon, particularly when you're counting Elliott waves. So took me a day or so to realize it's like, okay, that was just, 4th wave failure. And now it's back off to the races. But I would not say, I can't cut out that the market may not just whip around and come flying back down. It certainly has enough reasons sitting on the sidelines. But a break above 282, of course, nullify that, at least until substantial new highs have been created. Excuse me. Now, that doesn't, in my opinion, that doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to go to new all-time highs. So, and that would call for something over 294 in the spider. And it is definitely possible. And even looking at my daily, it's definitely within the realm of reality in terms of market position and is the market oversold, overbought, kind of sitting right in the middle. And so I think there is a strong possibility that it's just going to continue to push itself higher. And I'm done giving up the reasons, because every time you do that, they always come out with something new. I've heard a myriad of what is going on, but I just think that everything's kind of lining up, to be honest with you. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, we need commodities in line. We need gold in line. We need the bonds in line. We need everybody's kind of in their own way reaching their top or their bottom. And then that's when the bigger turns, I believe, will really kind of come through. And I just don't see that right now. So I think we have continued upside.
I agree. You know, when we first came into 280, I said this is a big spot. And mm-hmm. the reason is 280 has been for the last year a big spot in this market. It was resistance till we could break above it. Then it became support until we broke back below it.
Right.
And then it became resistance again. And it made sense that the first time we try to get through there, we should fail.
Mm-hmm.
And especially given how far we come from the December 24th rolls. By the way, somebody did call a Santa rally over here a week before, said we're still going to get a Santa rally. Here we are right now. And, you know, we typically get about 3 to 5% pullbacks a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? We got a 3% pullback last week.
Okay. Yeah.
Right? Right at it. Right into the 3% zone. Cooled off the RSI, cooled off the oscillators. And now here we are, not overbought anymore, right back at 280 in 3 days.
Right.
The only thing that gave me pause last week, and I had to take the weekend to think about it, the data on those, the China data and the jobs number was so bad that it scared me on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought about it. I said, these have to be an anomaly. I bet you these get revised differently because they were so far off a cliff, it just didn't make any sense. You know what I'm saying?
True. Because I actually was talking with Jim Kenny yesterday, and he was saying, no, he felt it was also an anomaly because of it was the shutdown, you know, the trade, and just everything that was going on, the weather.
Yep.
Many parts of the country were buried under snow.
China was closed for 2 weeks in January.
China was closed for 2 weeks in January, et cetera. Yeah. So I would have to agree with you that it was an anomaly and we have to wait and see. Now, what will work against it is if the government shuts down again.
They signed the bill.
I know they did.
Yeah, he did.
But now, I know they did sign it, but he may shut it down over budget. So
I
know. That's just hot air or whatever, you know, it's going to be out there and it's going to really catch people's attention. I personally would not trade on it, but.
If the market doesn't care about that right now. The market doesn't care about Brexit right now. And I believe the market's waiting to see what the China deal is going to look like, because I firmly believe we're going to get a China deal sometime in the near future. Both need a win.
And do you feel that China deal is going to be positive?
I feel it's going to be
the United States, because obviously I think it'll be positive for China, but will it be positive for the United States or amicable?
I think it's going to be amicable.
Okay.
And if it is a positive, then the markets are going to explode to a new all-time high.
Totally explode. Absolutely correct. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But to your point, right now you got to get above 280 and 282. I remain bullish on the market and finding longs. So I think we're kind of in the same spot. I think we just need to digest here maybe a day or two. It might take till next week before we break out. But then again,
yes.
This market loves to catch everybody sleeping. You know, a $1 range on the S&P 500 today. You know, come on. That's just silly. That's computers.
That's computers.
All right.
Welcome to the modern age.
IRBT, first symbol up.
IRBT.
So I always think remain bullish on the markets overall, just different.
Yes,
markets.
Yes.
Yeah.
But just to add to that, I think that who's ever listening should also understand, even though we're both saying we're bullish on the markets, hold on 1 second.
It doesn't mean I'm backing up the truck and taking a ton of risk here until the market tells
me. Right. It doesn't mean we're backing up the truck. And it doesn't mean that every single issue is going to be fantastic.
Yep.
Because that's just not the case. For example, you know, later on down the list, we've got one that will prove that point. Because we do not know everything that's going to happen. So while we do remain bullish on the market, there are going to be probably sectors or probably individual stocks that will not participate.
Correct.
But this puppy, am I going first?
Yep, go ahead.
iRobot. I love the name. Now, for me, I just think that this technology is really beginning to pick up some speed in terms of product use, what can they do, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm kind of really like looking at this stock at the moment. Now, I think that I'm kind of looking at a couple of things. The earnings have not been stellar, but in fact, they're down 17.5% quarter over quarter. And so, I mean, that's not a great deal, but it can be. It just depends on what they continue to do. But right now, if it's large enough, it's going to participate in the rally, which I do believe that it is. And I'm going to leave the option stuff to you on this one. But I think that there's a couple of things going on. I think in terms of momentum, it's beginning to point higher. So if that continues, then this stock is going to continue to move towards that high at 132.88. Now, going against it, and this is something that our good friend Jim Kenny continues to really talk about.
Off the 200-day?
The 200-day sits way below.
Yeah.
And it's not quite 50%, but it's dang close to being 50% below current levels. And that tends to kind of put, are we putting too much hope into this particular company or this stock? That I don't know. But I do pay attention to God, now my brain's not working. Pattern, because I'm an Elliott Wave technician. I study Elliott Wave and I use it consistently. So whether, you know, we went from 132.88, we came down to below 120, got down to, I think, probably 118-ish. 118.62 last week on Friday, and now we've bounced. We're already $5 above that level. That's good, but is this just a rebound rally, just a pull up? It's not a pull back off of that decline, and then it'll resume. That is still out. That we still have to wait for. But in the meantime, if it's going to continue to participate in the overall market rallies, then this stock has probably, in my view, at least a 65 to 70% chance of eking out a new high.
I look at it very simply, and that's a great explanation. For me, the thing is hotter than hot. RSI was screaming above 80 on it. It had run a huge way, right, from 90 to 130. And all it's done is pull back. It held the 21-day. It held the previous level it broke out from in August, right, at 118. When the market dipped hard this week, it kind of just yawned. And it probably just needs a rest, like some of the other big names that have run. It may go sideways for a little bit here. I don't know that I'd be initiating up here, but you know, if I owned it from down below, I would definitely be keeping it for potentially more and maybe put a stop in around 115, because if it breaks that, then I'm in trouble.
Do they have options?
They do. I haven't seen much on this name, though.
Oh, okay. Because that's always the concern, instead of going out and spending a full $124.
They're expensive options on this name too. They're not cheap for whatever reason.
I'm sure. But then you got premium plays, then you got all kinds of things that can come in if we're dealing with options. I'm going to agree with you. I mean, it could just sit and pause, but the entire rally, I don't know if it's over yet.
No, I don't know if it's over either. And if the market goes, it's going to go. To your point,
yeah.
If the market decides to run for a new all-time high, this is going to make a new all-time high with it.
I agree. Totally agree.
All right, let's move on. So here's one of my favorites. I love Micron. And what makes Micron special here is obviously is that this name has been a constant battleground in the semi space, and specifically it's in the memory space.
Yeah.
But we also have a big event coming for Micron next week. Earnings, always one of the last of the semis to report, and that is on the 20th of next week. So
wow.
What do you think here? So that, I mean, that makes it tougher. You're asking me to try to forecast what this thing's going to do on earnings. I always tell everybody, I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. I'm like you. I am a probability. I put up the wrong chart. I'm a Micron trader from way, way back. This was a big, big, big option stock in my day. And I know it continues to be a really sweet option stock. If I just take a look at a quick probability analysis, and we both have this, I believe, on our charts, because I use the TOSS platform, Thinkorswim. And if I'm just kind of looking out, and I'm going to really, let's just check probability number-wise all the way out to January of 2021. There's a 56% chance that it's going to be below 35.
That's a pretty big number from January 21.
Right. Below 35. But then as I start to kind of come up and I'm now here, they're really... the probability numbers are lining up to kind of that show that this thing's going to go sideways more than it's going to go up. We've got ranges between 39.25 and 43,
and
then 35 to 39.
And that's actually the one we're in a China deal.
Yeah.
Because they do provide a ton of memory to China. If China stops slowing so much, or they open the gates up and buy more memory from us, this could be one of the big winners.
Now, chart wise, I'm going to sit right on the fence on this chart, because I think there's a 50% chance it drops down below 36, and there's a 50% chance that it gets itself back above 41.
Well, what I love from the chart was on Friday, we got this massive bullish engulfing candle. When the market didn't do anything on Friday, they came screaming for Micron, right?
Yeah.
And now you've had two smaller range days, and it's stuck right at the 8-day. If you look on my chart, that gold line right there is the 8-day.
Okay.
Micron likes to run into earnings.
Either direction, they just like to run.
Runs. Usually goes up. Usually tries to, if it's been, usually tries to run into it. Oh, I would look for a quick trade on this for the rest of the week if it can get and hold above the 8-day for a quick bounce, maybe up into the 42 or 44 area. Maybe. That's a big move. But about 42, I would look for. But see if you can get a bounce trade out of it. But I wouldn't be in this name going to earnings because I think, you know, there's just too much unknowns there.
Yeah. And they have surprised and disappointed all at the same time.
That's exactly right. Or even when they beat, guidance may not be bad or who knows what comes. You just never know.
Right. So if you had to lay odds, we're laying odds now, right? Here we are, traders. I mean, we got the 200-day on my chart, the 200-day is at 44.60.
Same.
Definitely within grabbing there. You
could be right there that earnings night.
Absolutely. And I actually think if the earnings come out and blow it out of the water in terms of what Micron can do, 44.60 is going to be gone in a heartbeat. And then that next rally phase. That actually could announce the next rally phase because I think if it really gets up there, then downside is complete. And downside would have been complete at last Friday's lows.
What I also love, and the next name is we're going to tie back into this, is the semis kind of led this move down last week, right? The semis started rolling over before last week.
Yeah.
They were weak, you know, for about the last 10 days.
Yeah, and I know who you're going to talk about. But before you go there, I just wanted to ask, how's premium on Micron options?
Oh, they're going to be jacked for next week.
Are they jacked yet?
Of course they're jacked. Next week's options are at 61% IV.
Wow, okay.
For this week, they're at 35%. They're already jacked up through the roof.
Well, I tell you, if you like risk, folks, and you like playing premium, perfect stock. Here we go.
But to me, this the whole semi sector let us down. And what I like is this week, they're starting to lead us back up. So on Micron, for me personally, I'd wait. Now this one, I got out of it today after being read in it. I did trade options and common on this today and got out for wins on both. I've been reading it for a week. AMD to me is one of these charts, Michael, that still just looks. I look at this chart and I just like it. I like the setup on it.
Tell me more.
Well, I mean, look at every time it dips, it holds the 200-day, that green line.
Yeah.
You know, to the penny, basically, on Friday. Bounced off. Came up big day yesterday. Came up all the way to 2380 today. Didn't quite get to the 24 target board before it pulled a bit. You look at this, it had this huge move off of the lows down in the single digits all the way up into the 30s. And all it's done is pull back and it's consolidating. And, you know, I always had 15 as my line in the sand. I'm sorry, I had 16 as my line in the sand. And it hasn't been able to break that.
No, gotten there twice.
Yeah, but held.
Yeah, I see that.
And everybody keeps saying that, they're going to fall apart. I actually think they're really well-run company these days.
Really? So they've shed a lot of their problems then?
Yeah.
Because I've always thought that they were management heavy. In other words, they just had too much stuff. In other words, instead of really just dropping one product and coming up with something new, they kept putting like Band-Aids on something. And then here they go, and, you know, because we got to get it out to market. And I think that's always really affected their earnings. But it is a good company. I will agree with you with that. They do have product that sells. They do have product that is very much needed within its space. And if they come out and beat, when do they report again? They don't report till now.
You got a while.
Second quarter.
Yep.
Yeah.
And they're earning.
But you're right. If Micron blows the doors off, AMD will benefit.
Yep.
And so I would agree with you again. Same type of pattern that I'm seeing in Micron exists here in AMD. Of course, just different prices. First of all, it is above its 200-day, so
all the moving averages at the close today.
Yeah, not that far above. So you keep that 200-day in mind because I think that if it actually breaks, it's going to have to break and close below before I think it really is going to have an implication on the price of the stock.
Yep.
But I agree with what you said. 24 seems to be a line in the sand. I don't know why, but it seems to be a line in the sand right there. If it breaks above, I think 25 is easy, and 26 should be in the neighborhood.
Well, I agree. If you get above, you got to get above 24. And then, you know, 25. But if you start breaking above 25, this thing may start another run. I could actually see it up at 28 very quickly.
Yeah, because it seems to be, you know, if we go all the way back to October of last year, they did that tremendous gap, like boom, gap down. And it's just kind of playing right there. It doesn't want to go too far above it, doesn't want to go too far below it, you know, which gives us this sideways look.
But see, this is one of my favorite names. I'm trying to find ways to stay long. I took out today because I thought it was just, you know, after a 3-day move, and I'm back green and I made money on it after being red. I decided to take everything off and I can revisit this tomorrow with a fresh mind.
But, you know, I also think that in favor of what your statement that, you know, you like this particular stock is that it's got great volume and just as equity, you know, just as a stock trades got for it. And those options trade like May wheat. So, you know,
it's very liquid. It trades well.
Extremely liquid. And I know May wheat, I just aged myself. Right.
Yeah. And it tight spreads.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, which is nice. It makes trading easy. Let me just see one thing that I might be able to add here. Micron is the same as, AMD is the same as Micron in terms of that if we're looking all the way out on a probability basis, being below 21, there's a, and we're going all the way out to January 21, folks. So it's 51% probability that it'll be below 21. Not all that far from where it is. So no big deal, I think. But there's a 35% chance that it'll be above 26. So again, it's either a huge sideways move for the next 2 years, or this thing's going to break one way or the other. And I think in a very short term, this week, next week, you're looking like 26 on the top side, 21-20 on the bottom.
The one thing I keep looking at, Michael, as well, on a lot of these charts is how tight the Bollinger Bands are right now.
They must be tight.
They are tight here. You can see on my screen. You can see it on the SPY. They're tight. So many names, very tight Bollinger Bands. And that tells me one thing. We're getting ready for a big move. We just don't know the direction.
Right.
Because usually the tighter the Bollinger Bands get, the more explosive the move is coming out of it.
Wow. So, yeah, good point. Very good point.
You see that in a lot of names right now. Very, very tight setups. So, you know, something to keep an eye on. So let's move on to Tesla.
Okay.
I sometimes don't know what to say about this name anymore.
I know. It's like, you know, everybody's like wrapping themselves around what Elon Musk is going to do this week or not do this week or what he's going to say or not say. I was like, you know, I think people got to give the guy a break. He's brilliant. His brain goes way faster than the rest of them. And, you know, he just gets carried away. But as a company, I think that they really do need to kind of move him over to the sideline.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I think that I don't know, either that or management is making a lot of knee-jerk type of decisions. I mean, they make a decision that they're going to put all these showrooms all over. And we've got two in San Francisco, plus go down the peninsula, you know, all the way down, which is Tesla City. There's just a lot of Tesla showrooms. And then, of course, the factory is continuing to just hire and crank out cars. And then all of a sudden they come out with this decision that, nope, well, we're going to close everything. You're just going to have to buy your Tesla online.
Yeah, who wants to buy a $35,000 or $100,000 car without driving?
Without going and at least physically looking at it other than a picture. I know. I thought, what a strange way to do things. But maybe they got enough input from a young younger generations that are like, yeah, we're fine doing it that way. I don't know. Now, from a technical standpoint, I think Tesla continues to move lower. Although,
I think this is one of the ugliest charts out there.
Isn't it? So it's like, if I had to, I really have to narrow my focus almost down to just really counting from the high last week or maybe it was the end of February at 320 down to the low last week at 270. And then that this is just a rebound rally and up to above, 291 yesterday, I guess, or somewhere in there. And
yesterday,
now we're heading lower again.
Yesterday surprised me, but then you get a gap down again today on two downgrades or 2 point lowers.
I think a lot of that is also option activity. I think, you know, you get them coming in and whatever they're doing, they're going to hedge and they hedge immediately. And if the premium is high enough, say again, I'm sorry, what did you say?
Big bearish bets all over the place the last couple of weeks on this thing.
Yeah. So they got to hedge them. Yep. So algorithms will go nuts with this stock and they're probably having a blast, but I think this puppy goes lower and just, you know, puts in a new low, but under 270, that's lower.
I have a gentleman, a small bet, about a $20 bet with somebody I trade with then. And that Musk, I said Musk will be no longer CEO in a year. So basically by March 1st, I think the SEC is going to force him out. I think he's in big trouble with the SEC, and he keeps railing on them. That's bad.
He does. You're absolutely right. He keeps telling them all kinds of things. And well, that's if they want to flex their muscle. To date, they really haven't, and they're starting to. But maybe they'll use him as an example. But the thing to remember is, like, they may force him out, but he'll never be off the board.
No,
they may take him out of his position of CEO, but I think he'll always be on the board. And then he has SpaceX.
Well, but then, you know, that's good. I think SpaceX is a great company. Again, like you said, he's brilliant, but he's the He's the dumbest, most brilliant person I know.
A loose cannon. He's definitely a loose cannon.
So if you're the board, I think you got it. You got to find a way to quarantine him so that he doesn't affect the stock, or he could say what he wants, and you can just say, well, he's not speaking on behalf of Tesla.
You could be right, and I'll tell you that I would agree with you if the board actually got together and they muzzled him and actually agreed on the board that he stepped down as CEO.
Yep.
I think then the stock's going to rally.
Yeah, it could. So here's my fears with Tesla. I keep going back with this. You look at this chart, it's been going sideways now for a couple years. I mean, you know, you look at a week chart on this thing, and it is just, it's ugly, you know, chewing people up, spitting people out. You know, look at that range. He's just big, wild range, holding the 200-day basically on the weekly chart. I think when the big guys decide they want to go into electric cars, you know, Elon's in trouble, because I think they'll take him on and push him out. That said, every time this stock looks at its worst, it tends to find a way to rebound. And it looks bad here. And,
you know,
you know, this is the thing that, you know, gets everybody flustered, because they try to short it, and it, you know, they're shorting it because it looks like it's going to break. It closes on lows and it bounces up. And then when this thing looks good, it falls apart.
But look at that same chart. Are you back on your daily, or you still have the weekly?
We're back to the daily.
All right. Let me go. But because if you look at your weekly, I think what drives traders crazy, red, green, red, green, red, green, 1 week red, 1 week red, green, 1 week red, another week red, 1 week green. You've really got a position very short term. Even on my daily, it's like you get some follow through, but not a whole lot. And the follow through comes in the day, and they just ram it up your nose because they're going to push the stock up $10 or $20.
The best way to trade this name is cheap weekly out of the money options. With your risk is defined. I'm willing to lose it all.
Yeah.
You know, puts or calls, and I'm looking for a $20 move. If I get it, these are going to pay. If I don't get it, these are going to expire worthless or along those lines.
I think that's actually very, very solid advice. Because we're the little guy, right? Unless you are working for a big firm or you've got very, very deep pockets, that's a very good strategy if you want to play this stock.
And generally, I generally choose just not to trade this thing lately.
Yeah.
I think I've traded it twice in the last couple months. I generally just stay out of it.
I don't blame you.
So for me, this is too hard to read, no touch. But now we go to an interesting one. So Leboo. Leboo is, for people who do not know what it is, Leboo is a ETN. It is a 3x leveraged ETN based upon the IBB in biotech. This is not a name you should ever be sitting in. And, you know, I know people are going to say it works. And you know what? When I first started trading, I bought a bunch of leveraged ETNs and sat in them for a year and made great money. But that was when we were coming off the lows in the market.
Yeah.
These things decay. So you're asking me to look at like Leboo. This is designed to be a day trading vehicle. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to preach, but these are not designed to sit in. If you want to sit in them, you're taking on extra risk.
And you need to hedge that risk. If that's your plan is to stay in here, do hedge it somehow, because I didn't hear in the beginning, is this a double or a triple?
I believe it's, 1 second. I have to go look. Go ahead.
But just consider that now I've got the daily up. So I'm going back to June of last year. It was at 116.
Yeah.
By December, so 6 months, folks, in 6 months, it lost 80% of its value.
Yep.
And so you either got to be really in touch with what stocks sit in this particular ETF and where are they? I mean, if you're a biotech trader, then you're likely going to like this particular index, because you can hedge an equity position with this index or with this ETF. You can, you know, there's all kinds of things that you can do to protect yourself if you've got a stock that they're in phase 3 trials and those trials have completed and you're waiting for results or FDA approval or disapproval. You can always just kind of use this to balance out your position or to hedge your position, because either way it should move.
But
now,
if you're asking me what to play, I put up a chart here of XBI. This is more liquid. Options are tighter and it doesn't decay. This is a biotech ETF.
By S&P?
Yeah, this is the XBI.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's like, and that's an exact excellent example to kind of show side by side, because, you know, the Dryaxon it decays. It loses value simply over time.
Yep.
So I think that before anybody were to step into it, I agree with you, you better learn everything you need to know about this particular thing, what creates the decay and why and at what rate. And I mean, it's like people that jump into the volatility indexes, particularly the very, very short term, without really understanding that wherever that thing comes out on Monday, it's not going to be there on Friday,
right?
Because it decays, and it decays quickly because they die quickly.
I love the VIX as a hedge in the markets, a cheap hedge.
Yeah, that's it.
So let's just take a look at from a biotech perspective. I guess if he's asking this, so I think we covered that enough. Back above the 200-day here on the XBI, I'm not going to talk Laboo. And biotech looks like a nice 3-day rally, and see if it continues. This thing has been ugly to me, but it finally broke out above this area. It had an inverse head and shoulders here, you know, around this, that triggered around 87, finally got above it, came right back down to it, but held it and is now bouncing. I like biotech here, but, you know, we are at the mercy of our government and drug pricing.
Yeah.
So I would rather just play individual names that I like.
And with that respect, and thank you for reminding me and then everybody else, it's like all of that is going to be coming up in Congress, particularly prescription prices. And, you know, we're going into the budget talks, and part of the budget talks is I really want to cut down and trim down what Medicare pays for Part D.
Right.
A lot of those costs are going to, it's like it's going to be the big old fat no, you cannot cut them, because now you're talking about people that are sick and people that have terminal illnesses, and they're not going to be able to have their medicine. They're not going to be able to afford the you know, prescriptions that they need to either get well or stay alive. So this whole thing, I think, can really play out. And that might be why someone is interested more in Laboo, because it's going to have more volatility and more sensitivity to those day-to-day developments or non-developments.
I agree. In the average trader, you don't take that. The average trader, you trade XBI or IBB.
I agree. Whoever is asking for Laboo, please have deep pockets and be able to get in and get out real quick. And be careful about getting into, if you're going to trade the options, be careful about getting into an option that doesn't have any volume or open interest.
You're trading a derivative of a derivative at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Next up is Roku. And this is one of my favorite names in the world. So I'll let you start, because I could talk about this all night.
Being a local, they're in my backyard here, company, I'm looking again, I'm just going to look on the daily on this one. And this has gotten a lot of really good press, a lot of really good news, and still it's not making a ton of money. Now, I think that they're lining themselves up to pull in some serious money, but it's going to depend on how well they can do against some of the bigger players.
Okay, but I have to challenge you there on that.
Okay.
Back in January.
Yeah.
They raised guidance at CES for the year.
Okay.
Then they had earnings, and everybody said there's no way they can beat. Not only did they beat their guidance they raised guidance again for the year.
This is Roku.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So, I mean, if you're raising guidance and you're raising your earnings estimate, your EPS and your revenue, you're starting to make money.
Okay. I cannot deny that. But
this is one of my favorite stocks, so I'm going to challenge you with that one.
Oh, I'm not saying that it's a bad company. I'm just kind of saying that I think we need to be careful, because not that they're still a startup, because I don't think that they are, but if they continue to grow, then yeah, by all means, I think this is all going to be easy street for them. But let's also bear in mind as well that they're going to get up into these higher numbers, and therefore that's going to create more intraday volatility in pricing. And so they have to kind of be prepared for that. And Roku in and of itself, I have no problem with the company. I have Roku on all my sets here, my TVs here. And I think it's great. And I think they do continue to produce good product. Just because I'm, again, looking at Thinkorswim. And just to add, I only have one, Market Edge, saying they're long and they're staying long. The Street saying to sell it, and the research from TD Ameritrade are saying reduce. So I'm just tossing it out. That's not saying anything against.
I love it. I'm on the other side of this one.
I think that's great. That's what makes a market.
So I've been a big fan of this name for a long time. It came in a lot further than I thought it ever would back into the December lows. That said, it's incredible.
Wow. Yeah, that's a $50 rally.
Yep, you got a bounce here. Nicely done. I think it's going to take out all-time highs sooner than later. Now, today they announced a mixed shelf offering this morning. Okay.
How big was it?
$100 million.
Oh, okay.
And again, they may or may never take full advantage of it, right?
Yeah.
They're applying to the ability to create, to sell some stock, but we don't know when or how much. They'll do it over time. It's not like a secondary.
True.
At the 8-day on that today, right?
It walked it, yeah.
Right, still looks great. Chart looks fabulous. Could definitely use another inside day or two. But I do think this one's going to go up and take out that high around 77 and then probably take a breather.
It needs to take a breather because it's getting extremely overbought.
Yes, it is. But it's an art of beauty. And names like this, when they get overbought, can stay overbought. Look at how long Boeing stayed overbought for.
I agree 100%. You can never exit or, you know, worry about that something is overbought, because stocks, indexes, everything can stay overbought or oversold for a very extended period of time.
Look how long the stock stayed oversold back in December for.
Yeah. No, right? I see it.
I think this name's going higher now. Would I be buying it for a new long up here? No. But I would be holding it if I had it up here. I think it's only a matter of time. I think in that space, they are going to be a player. And I think eventually they'll get taken out because they have too much technology that somebody else is going to want.
But the 200-day is almost 50% above current prices.
Yeah, below.
You're right. Below current prices. A price is 50%, almost that 50% above. And that starts to send out warning signals to me that it's just overheated. Not necessarily that Roku's a bad company, not that Roku's not going to make any money, blah, blah, blah. It just could be nothing more than, guys, let it relax a little bit. You know, let it digest that all this movement.
Honestly, if you go back and reconnect it with the 21-day, wherever that was, right now it's at 63, it'd probably be
that
higher.
That would be healthy. That would be very healthy.
I would not be afraid to try a longer-term trade off of that.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, I'm in scalp mode. I trade over Roku almost, you know, lately I've been trading this name a lot, and usually I'm in and out of it in the same day a couple times.
What's the volume? Is it sweet volume?
Yeah, it's got plenty of volume. The options are liquid, but I've been trading common. I just grab 500 or 1,000 shares and take it for a ride and get out.
Okay. So what kind of intraday moves are you getting then?
You've been getting a couple bucks a day. If you're sitting in an eye, you can take anywhere from 20 to 50 cents and be done.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like to sit in anything, have it pull back in my face and then get knocked out lower. So I'll take it and then I'll watch for it to flag. And if it flags again, I'll try it again as it breaks it.
Right. Yeah. Yes. You can trade it as much as you want.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's saying that once you buy, you have to hold.
That's right. Exactly.
No, that's a good one. I like that. And as long as you can get in and you can get out and you're making your, what we would term scalping, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
That's exactly it. The next one I don't know about as much. Caterpillar.
My pal, Caterpillar? Caterpillar started to tumble last week, and it broke Wednesday. It broke below its 200-day moving average at 136.75, and it's just started to accelerate. Now, I think that it's going to go drop below 130, likely rally back towards 135, but then it's not going to do very well. It's not going to do well. I don't hold high hopes for Caterpillar. I don't like the pattern on the daily from the October low. It's not, to me, it's not bullish. To me, it is mid to longer term bearish. And what I mean by that is, if we just back up to the drop that we saw from the beginning of October till the end of October from 159, or excuse me, yeah, 159.40 about, this thing drops all the way down to 112. That's pretty significant, and that's super, super big money if you're playing it. Now, what I would anticipate off of that, and it can be complete now, is a larger but still a ABC type pattern in a rebound rally. I can count that out very quickly right here, and it's complete again at 142.5. And now what it's beginning is another drop that should equal in size what happened in October. Now that's just a very, very technical, very quick Elliott look at this without going into any of the internal details. But if this comes down and breaks 130, then it's going to have completed an initial five waves down, and that is not a positive.
See, now I'm not an Elliott wave guy, but I look at a chart here and I see a couple things that are a little bit bullish to me, but I have no position on Caterpillar right now. And I was looking at it last week to try to get into that little gap up here at 139.
Mm-hmm.
It never triggered, right? You can see it just pounded away at it and then it broke and I never got in.
Right.
But in December, it never took out the October lows. That's a pretty bullish sign for a stock when everything else is making all new lows.
Right.
And it's since October, it's put in a series of higher lows, right?
Right.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and this is 6 here now, as long as this holds. So that has yet to be violated.
Okay.
I just think the name's acting special, Michael. So I'm not arguing with you. I think there's other places I'd rather be putting my money than here, because it's, even on a day like today when the market was okay, it wasn't. It couldn't get going.
No. And it has a different set of, it shouldn't, but it does have a different set of givens. This got hit very hard with the tariffs because, the Chinese market and a lot of other markets, they're huge for Caterpillar, for the equipment. Now, this isn't just, you know, farming equipment. this is also the great big construction equipment that we see around the country. So it is a very large company, and they produce a lot of equipment that is used around the globe. What would favor this and stop any decline and probably turn it around is the China talks. If they're really going to end up favorable, then I don't think you want to get in the way with this thing. I think all bets are off. But just from the pattern, I'm going to say that it's not going to be favorable, at least not to Caterpillar, because it just does not look good.
I will stay out of this stock until it gives me a reason to get in. And right now, other than holding the 50-day by the skin of its teeth, it's not giving me a reason.
Skin of its teeth, you're right. And the other thing that I will add, though, if you are in a position in Caterpillar, if you are long the stock, you're going to want to consider protecting.
Yeah.
And if you have and you've hedged, be careful of what level you're hedging to, because you may need to hedge again. Now, if it goes sliding through where you thought your hedge was, then you need to do something different.
Or you could sell some upside calls against it.
There you go.
All right.
I dare not try to make too many of those types of recommendations.
We got to accelerate a little bit here. We got about 10 minutes to go, a bunch of names. So let's quickly talk FireEye. And I will tell you, I hate this name because it just can't get going.
And they've got this huge gap in February on probably non-existent earnings or something. So the next day, this thing gaps down $2.50. Woo! I don't really know all that much about FireEye, but I would tend to agree with you. How liquid is this?
It's a very liquid name.
Is it? Okay.
It just can't get out of its own way. I mean, let's go to too many years.
So this is a newer issue, right? It's not been around for. Yeah,
look at this chart. I mean, this thing was skyrocketed up over 100. Now it's trading down the teens. Look how long it's been. This is a weekly chart. Look how long it's been bottoming down here for.
Forever.
This company is not well managed. They had a buyout offer from Cisco at one point at 24, and the CEO said, I want 30, and they walked when the stock was trading at 16.
Wow.
And, that was a couple summers ago already. They're really just a badly managed company. There continues to be buyout. Well, Facebook's going to buy them. Well, I just don't think they're a well-managed company. And honestly, guys, I own this stock. I have made money on this stock, but overall, I don't like it. I almost never touch it.
I think it depends, and I agree with what you're saying. This is not, when you consider that for the last 3 years, the stock is moving in a $10 range.
Yep.
And so as a trader, I'm like, sell the tops, buy the bottom, sell the top, buy the bottom, and just hold on.
Yep.
If they're really badly managed, it's not ever going to get back above 20 with any steam, and likely is going to get killed. I mean, this is not a bullish chart to me, obviously. And I think it goes down to 10 before it goes to 25.
I find this name moves for no rhyme or reason on rumor. So I just prefer not to touch it.
Agreed.
Let's go to one that is more interesting to me. This is IQ. So IQ is a recent IPO. It's about not quite a year old. It's China, right? This is the streaming China name. This is the Chinese Netflix. I like this chart, Michael.
Tell me why.
Well, you had your initial IPO burst, which we always get. Then your pull back down here. And now look at this nice move off of lows and fabulous earnings. And to me, if we break 28, I think this thing takes off.
I would agree with you on that. And I would say that you have probably at least a 50% probability of it breaking 28. Again, how heavily does it play victim to the trade talks? Not too much.
Netflix is not in China. Netflix is not even trying to get into China anymore. Okay. The only play on trade talks for this name, I think, is more that the longer that the trade war, quote unquote, goes on, the worse China's economy is, maybe less money. But this is a streaming service. It's not expensive. I think this is kind of a good space to be in over there.
Right. And they probably could pick up quite a few subscribers.
Yeah.
You're right. The rally off of 1435 is really nice. It zipped back above the 200-day and then dropped below it briefly. And now it's nicely back above it. The 200-day is flatlining.
But the 200-day just started. It's only been around for 2 months.
It's only been around for 200 days. I'd like to see that kind of turn its nose up a little bit to give me a little bit more momentum that people are stepping back in en masse. I would say that you've got at least a 50 to 55% opportunity that it's going to get above 28. And if it can do that with some gusto, then 30 should not be a problem.
I agree. I think this has a move in it. All right, so I'm going to skip ahead here, and we're going to go to the one that everybody's talking about.
Okay.
And that's Boeing.
Oh, my little baby Boeing. This stock, this company is solid, is established, and right now is confronting major problems. Now, I believe that if they hadn't pumped up this stock as hard as the market did above 400, that the news would still be strong and it still would be severe. When you've got a problem with something that's taking lives, that's a big problem.
Everybody's assuming that this is a problem with the plane. I said this to my subscribers today, is that the FAA is on site conducting the investigation.
That's true.
And they're not grounding the planes in America. Not that there's a lot of them. Most of them are international. That tells me something. They probably already either strongly suspect or pretty sure this was pilot error.
How could it be pilot error when the plane all by itself descends?
Because the pilot had 200 hours of experience versus the average of 1,500 hours experience for any American pilot that flies a plane.
But it's a brand new plane. So what do they have experience flying a 737?
Yeah, 200 total hours experience flying.
Oh, total.
Yeah.
Well, from what I understand.
So maybe he misread something. Maybe they did something. Maybe they went against what the computers, I don't know.
I would think, and I'm not going to disagree, and I can't really challenge that, because I would think you're correct, because an aircraft, particularly a jetliner, has been totally computerized now.
Yep.
And
maybe that's part of the problem. They should let them land them and fly them and take off on their own without the computers. But go ahead.
Because if the computer's not getting it correct, and you're having pilots trying to fight to get the plane level or to reverse, you're going to get what's happening. Now, I actually think that the FAA should have put a pause on it and said, guys, let's just keep these on the ground. Let us go in and take a really hard look. Let us work with the people at Boeing and see what's going on. I think the market's reaction, overdone, maybe. But I'll tell you why I think it's overdone. Because it was overvalued. And I think that's to the detriment of the company, because they're not, they're strong, they're big, they've got orders. It's all going to remain. They just got to work through this problem. And without the overvaluation, I doubt that it would have been so severe on the way back down. And the grace period would have been given back to Boeing to go figure this out. Excuse me. Right now, they're sitting in the middle going like, what? Oh, my God, we got to do something. Because you now have to be beholden to the shareholder versus being beholden to 300 families that have lost loved ones.
I agree. I still think at the end of the day, Boeing's going to be just fine. And I don't want to.
Me too. Yeah.
Honestly, as soon as they know what it announced what it is, that's probably the time to go out and buy some way out of the money longer term calls on this thing, or a call spread if you want to lower your cost.
Yeah.
Because this name is going to come back. This name is not done here. And as you point out, now it's not far above the 200 day after getting pretty extended off it.
You're right. That part is true. And their earnings are still pretty solid. Their earnings are very solid. Yeah. Now, granted, a lot of that is based on these new Max 8, the 737 Max 8. That those sales do go through, and that whatever is creating this problem gets solved.
You remember the Dreamliner, the battery problem they had initially?
And the 777?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they fix that?
Yeah.
It didn't hurt them long term.
No. I don't think it really even hurt them short term.
I think this is something that I wouldn't be looking to short it here. I would be looking for when I know what it is, to get some long term out of the money calls.
Yeah.
And go back to it.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Right now you could look up around the 400s or 415s.
Okay. I don't have a problem with that. Only because I feel very strongly that Boeing A is big enough, and their corporate, their C-level people are absolutely strong enough to handle it properly and do be responsible back to the public, because the public is flying on those planes, but also to the markets and basically saying, this is what happened, this is what we've done, and this is how we're moving forward. And as a corporation the size of Boeing should do.
I agree. Guess what? That's our hour already. That was quick.
I know. We're just starting to have fun.
I know. Why don't you tell everybody how to get a hold of you and more about yourself?
Okay. First of all, thank you, Mike. I am real happy that we got another opportunity, because it is always very, very enjoyable, and I always enjoy the conversation. You guys can get a hold of me either Michael at MJF1partners.com or you can Michael at logicalsignals.com. I'll be more than happy to answer any questions, help people out if they're trying to get some coaching, if you want to trade futures and things of that nature. I'm there, and I'm more than happy to direct in a good direction. Now, if you want to talk about options, I'm going to turn you right back to the gentleman who's going to talk right now.
Oh, thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. Always a pleasure hosting this show with you. Great doing it again. Love these conversations. For me, you can reach me at smartoptiontrading.com. You can come in here. I have a free newsletter you can sign up for and get real-time option flow. You want training? Go to Mike. He loves to help out. And if you want to find me on Twitter, @optionsmike on Twitter, come on in there. Send me a direct message, follow me, and you'll probably get a response from me. Been a pleasure, David. Thanks for having me on again and having me host. Look forward to the next time.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Great discussion today. Just a quick reminder for everyone, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast directory. You can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to the archive for this or any of the past shows, plus the show notes. And join us again next week for both the Crowd Forecast News show. That'll be Monday the 18th at 1 p.m. Eastern time. And the next episode of this show, that'll be the 19th at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time. And I just want to thank my guests again for today, Michael Filiguera of LogicalSignals.com and Mike Pisani of SmartOptionTrading.com. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Hey, guys. Everybody have a good night.